My guest at this time is Cleta Mitchell. She is a partner at the Washington-based law firm of Foley Lardner, and she has many political clients, including some Tea Party and other conservative organizations that believe they have been targeted unlawfully by the Internal Revenue Service as part of the larger IRS scandal of making conservative organizations go through much more work and bigger hurdles than most organizations to get tax-exempt status. She testified before Congress again on Thursday and had several bombshells that she shared with lawmakers. We want to get her to talk about those in a little more detail now. And Cleta, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You had a number of compelling points in your testimony today that we certainly want to get to, starting with the fact that, contrary to what the president said on Sunday, this is a very real scandal and involves real criminal activity. This is an administration that, when this story first broke, at least on the surface, seemed really outraged. And now, of course, they seem pretty nonchalant about the whole thing. Why do you think that is? And how do you publicly combat the notion they're trying to forward here that this is a non-story?
Well, it's really hard to counter it because, unfortunately, what has happened since the initial days when Democrats in Congress were equally outraged, and then they remembered that actually when the Democrats realized that they were that it was the Obama administration, I don't know what went on behind closed doors, but at some point in time they all reversed course and began to close ranks and to try to protect the IRS and to dissemble and to stonewall and to obfuscate and to try to divert attention and to try to say, oh, well, this is all over. It really doesn't matter. And so there really wasn't a scandal. Obama says it's a phony scandal, and then he says, oh, there's not a smidgen of corruption, and ha, 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 just some rogue agents out in Cincinnati. And it's maddening and it's infuriating, but at the same time, I don't think the American people are fooled. I really don't.
Another point that you made that I think shocked a lot of people, there have been a lot of folks concerned about the Justice Department investigation into this because an Obama donor who's a Justice Department lawyer was put in charge of that, and so there's a potential conflict of interest. You told lawmakers this morning there isn't even an investigation, much less a biased one. What's the evidence that it doesn't exist at all?
Well, I can tell you this, that I have not been contacted until, interestingly enough, about 2 hours after I submitted my formal testimony, which outlined all the things that if the FBI ever bothered to call me, I would actually tell them. And I think that it became clear to me today that the Democrats on the committee are calling and talking to the Department of Justice and getting information. And I think that they had the FBI call me or the Department of Justice call me 2 days ago. I still haven't spoken to them. But I know that they haven't talked to any of the organizations. I mean, I would have heard about that because I deal with so many of these groups on a regular basis, and they're in touch with, they have quite a network around the country. And so the FBI and the DOJ have not talked to any of the victims or the witnesses in this case. And yet the president announces blithely on Sunday the conclusion of the investigation. Oh, there's not a smidgen of corruption. Well, what he should have said is, you know, there is an ongoing investigation, and I'm not going to comment on that until it's concluded. But the fact is they've prejudged and predetermined the outcome of the investigation, and I think that's why other people are calling for the appointment of a special prosecutor that's an independent of the Department of Justice that might actually do the job of looking into the various criminal acts that have been committed.
What did you make of the fact that the supposed head of this investigation, Barbara Bosserman, refused to testify today?
Well, you know, what I think is sort of interesting is since the powers that be in the Justice Department identified her as the lead attorney on the investigation, once it became known that she was a major Obama donor, then the a maxed out donor on a civil servant salary. Let's think about that for a moment. But now then they're trying to act as though, oh, well, she's not in charge of the investigation. She's just on the team. Well, I don't have a lot of confidence of her even being on the team, frankly. But, you know, they just can't get their story straight. And my response to all of this is, let's not lose sight of the fact that what happened to these people was real, it is real, it is ongoing, and the scandal has not stopped.
And let's go to that next point, because that's where I was headed next. Anyway, you also mentioned in your testimony today that this isn't being discussed in the past tense accurately, because it is still going on with many of these different organizations. They're still getting flack and harassment from the IRS trying to get their tax-exempt status. What are some of these clients going through, the ones that you deal with?
Well, they've had additional rounds of questions and huge, burdensome questions, even as late as August of last year. One of the groups was received, it finally got its tax-exempt status 2 months ago, 3.5 years. After applying, another organization got another round of questions in August and still doesn't have its letter of exempt status. So, you know, we are in a situation where it is not in the past tense. It is still ongoing. And now the IRS has proposed to make permanent the kinds of silencing activities that it has engaged in against conservative organizations for the last 4 years.
Talk about that a little bit more, because outside of being outraged like the president was a number of months ago, just as you explained, there seems to be an effort to legalize exactly what they had been doing. What will that mean if, in fact, they can do this, and what avenues do you and others have to fight it?
Well, we are fighting it. What they're proposing to do is to take basically all the activities in which 501c4 organizations normally and regularly engage, whether it's voter registration, get out the vote, candidate debates, candidate forums, grassroots lobbying, organizing events where they have public officials come and speak, all of those things that are just normal, everyday activities of 501c4 organizations. The IRS is proposing to make a new, to call all of these things candidate-related political activities, and to say that while an organization could participate in those, none of those would count toward the primary purpose of the organization. So we have the federal government saying that a candidate debate is not in the public good. It doesn't count towards social welfare. Please, I mean, we would rather have everybody get their information about candidates from the candidates' TV, 30-second TV ads. We think that's better than having a citizens group host a debate or a candidate forum where members of the public can come and see them and ask them questions. I mean, this is so outrageous that I can't even believe that we would sit and even contemplate allowing the federal government to move forward with these proposed regulations. And you ask what people can do, I will tell you what you can do. Go to, there's a website that actually King Street Patriots and True the Vote put together called We Will Not Be Silenced. That's S-I-L-E-N-C-E-D. We Will Not Be Silenced.org. And if people will go to that site, there is information about these regulations, and there's a way to link directly to the comment site so that individual citizens can go and post their comments and tell the IRS, do not move forward with these regulations. We're trying to make a strong public record against these regulations, and that has to be done before February 27th. The sooner the better, because it's a .gov website. We know what happens to those. They crash. So we're urging people to get involved and to rise up and to say we will not be silenced, and we will not allow the government to try to put duct tape over our mouths.
In our last couple of minutes here, Cleta, let's talk about the potential collusion between parts of our government, specifically the IRS, and liberal organizations. One that's been famously reported on, of course, is the National Organization for Marriage, a client of yours, having to submit their donor list to the IRS, and somehow that donor list ending up in the hands of the Human Rights Campaign, which is on the opposite side of that debate, obviously. Another one we've come to learn about seems to be that those groups, particularly conservatives, who tried to file an online form with the IRS to receive tax-exempt status, ended up getting directed towards the website of a well-known left-leaning organization, suggesting there might be some sort of involvement between that organization and approving or not approving tax-exempt status applications. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that's a new one, I have to tell you, Greg. I hadn't heard that one. But I've been so, I know that there is something going on. There's been something going on in terms of the returns themselves and the high number of individuals who became politically active and then suddenly, and when I say politically active, I had an email from someone today who saw the testimony on TV and said, you know, I created a website for our local Tea Party group, and then, you know, I was audited by the IRS. I have heard stories like that over and over and over again. I want someone, I want a prosecutor or someone to conduct a statistical analysis of the of those who've been audited the last 2 or 3 years. It isn't just big donors. Unlike what the IRS commissioner said yesterday when trying to justify why so many major donors to Romney were audited, but it's individuals, it's small small businesses, web designers, people who provided services to Tea Party groups, and they've been subject to audit as well. I do not believe that it's statistically random. I think that if anyone actually did the analysis, that it would be clear that this was not a random; these were not randomly selected.
And so, when it comes to these organizations, let's use Human Rights Campaign as an example. Do you believe they're just the beneficiaries of nefarious work by the IRS, or do you think they're complicit in some way?
Well, that's something, and I'm a little bit unable to speak to that specifically because I am representing the National Organization for Marriage through the ACT RIGHT Legal Foundation, and in the lawsuit that we have filed against the IRS, we are uncovering, because we've had to sue, because we could not get the information, by the way, when we asked for a TIGTA report, Inspector General report, to find out what happened and why. NOM's donor schedule was released to the HRC. How did that happen? Who did it? And there was an Inspector General's investigation, which the IRS would then not give to us. When I say us, I mean the National Organization for Marriage, because they said even though the law is to protect the taxpayer, in this case the National Organization for Marriage, the IRS has construed that to mean that they cannot tell you information about the unlawful inspection or release of your tax return, because then that would implicate the perpetrator's confidential information, and therefore they have to protect the perpetrator, the IRS employee, and they cannot and will not then tell you anything. So we have had to sue the IRS, and we are beginning to get information. We will, a discovery closes at the end of this month, well, mid-March, and we are learning some things that we are going to we're going to be making public within the next few weeks. But it just suffice to say, it is shocking. It is shocking to learn the kinds of things the IRS employees are doing to in terms of accessing confidential taxpayer information.
Well, we'll certainly be waiting for that information as well. I know a lot of folks are still talking about your testimony from earlier today. Cleta, thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate it greatly.
Thank you.
Cleta Mitchell is partner at Foley Lardner and is the legal counsel for a number of conservative and Tea Party organizations harassed by the Internal Revenue Service. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.